It was less than 300 yards to the Toyota, and Matatu ran like a frightened fawn. He was back within minutes. Job was with him carrying the white chest with a red cross on its lid, and he opened it. "In the instrument roll," Sean told Job brusquely. "Hemostats." Job passed him the stainless steel clamps, and Sean fastened them on the ruptured artery and taped them against the thigh. His hands were wet and bright with blood, but he and Job had done this work 50 times during the Bush War, and his movements were swift and confident. "Rig up a drip set," he ordered Job. "We'll give him a bag of Ringer's lactate to start with. Rig it!" As he spoke, he was screwing the nozzle on a tube of betadine, and now he slid the nozzle as deeply as it would go into the puncture of the wounds in Shadrach's thigh and squeezed the thick iodine paste into it until it forced itself out of the mouth of the wound like tobacco-yellow toothpaste. Shadrach lay without protest or any sign of pain, watching them as they worked, replying to Job in monosyllables when he spoke to him in Sindabili. "Drip set is ready," Job said. Without a word, Sean took the cannula out of his hands. Shadrach was his man, his responsibility. He would allow no one else to do this, not even Job. He twisted Shadrach's arm, exposing the inside of the elbow, and worked up a vein with a skilled milking motion, and he hit it with a needle at the first attempt and nodded to Job to let the plasma flow. "Hey, Shadrach!" Sean's grin was remarkably convincing as he laid a blood-smeared palm briefly against the Matabele's cheek. "I think you poisoned that old lion good. He eats your leg, and he's dead. Poof, like that." Shadrach chuckled. It amazed Ricardo to hear it, even though he had fought and worked with tough men before. "Give Shadrach one of your cigars, Guppo," Sean suggested. And he began to strap the leg with clean white tape from the chest to stop the residual bleeding. Once he had strapped the leg, he went over the rest of Shadrach's body quickly. He smeared betadine into all the rents and tears left by the lion's claws. "We can't afford to overlook the merest scratch," he grunted. "That old lion has been feeding on putrid carcasses. His teeth and mouth are a reeking pit of infection, and there's rotten meat packed in the grooves of his claws. Gangrene kills most of the victims of a mauling." Still not satisfied, Sean injected a full ampule of penicillin into the transfusion bag. That would swamp the body with antibiotic. Sean nodded and stood up. It had taken him less than 30 minutes, and studying the bandages and the drip set that Job was holding over Shadrach's supine form, Ricardo doubted that a trained doctor could have worked more swiftly or efficiently. "I'm going to fetch the Toyota," Sean told them, "but I'll have to bring it around by the way of the Ford. That'll take a little time. It'll be dark by the time I get back." He could have sent Job to fetch the truck, but he wanted to get the girl to himself. "There are spare blankets in the chest. Keep him wrapped and warm." He looked down at Shadrach. "Little scratch like that. I want you back at work pretty damn quick, otherwise I'll dock it off your wages." He picked up the .577, and he strode back through the grass to the river bank. As he trudged through the sandy watercourse, his anger at last came upon him, more powerful for being so long delayed. Claudia was sitting alone in the front of the Toyota as he came up the bank. She looked forlorn and abandoned, but he felt no twinge of pity. She stared aghast at his blood-caked hands. Sean placed the .577 in the gun rack without looking at her, and then spilled water from the jerry can over his hands and scrubbed them together, washing off most of the blood. He climbed into the driver's seat and started the Toyota, swinging it in a tight circle, and sent it back along the track that followed the river downstream. "Aren't you going to tell me what happened?" Claudia asked at last. She had meant to sound unrepentant and full of bravado, but it came out in a small, subdued voice. "All right," Sean agreed, "I'll tell you. Instead of a quick, merciful kill, there was total chaos and confusion. The lioness charged us first. We shot her, by mistake, in the long grass. Not that we would have had much option anyway. She was coming all the way." Sean switched on the headlights, for the sun was gone and the forest darkening. "Okay, so now the lioness is dead. Her cubs are still unweaned. They're all goners, all three of them. They'll starve to death inside a week.
Oh, no,
Claudia whispered. Then the lion charged after his mate. He caught us all at ends up. We weren't ready for him, and he got Shadrach down. He almost chewed his leg off. The bone is shattered from hip to knee. He may lose the whole leg, I don't know. Perhaps he'll get lucky and just end up with a permanent limp. Anyway, you look at it, he's not going to be a tracker anymore. I'll find him a job as a skinner or a camp servant. But he's a Matabele warrior, and menial work is going to break his heart.
I'm so sorry.
You are sorry? Sean asked, his voice low and furious. Shadrach is my friend and my companion. He has saved my life more times than I can count, and I've done the same for him. We fought a war together. We've slept under the same blanket, eaten from the same plate, trekked 10,000 miles together in the heat and the dust and the rain. He's more than a friend. I have 2 brothers, same mother, same father, but Shadrach means more to me than either of them. Now you tell me you're sorry. Well, thanks a lot, Ducky. That's a great comfort.
You have a right to be angry. I understand.
You understand? He asked. You understand nothing. You are an arrogant ignoramus from a different hemisphere. You're a citizen of the land of the quick fix, and you come and try your simplistic, naive solutions here in Africa. You try to save a single animal from his destiny. And you end up by killing a female and sending her 3 cubs to lingering death and condemning one of the finest men you'll ever meet to the life of a cripple.
What more can I say? She asked. I was wrong.
At this late hour, your newfound humility is most touching. His low voice lashed her. Sure you were wrong. Just as you and your people are wrong to try and starve an African nation of 30 million souls into acceptance of another one of your naive solutions. When the damage you've inflicted is beyond repair, will you again say, I'm sorry I was wrong, and walk away and leave my land and my people to bleed and suffer?
What can I do?
We have 30 days of safari remaining, he said bitterly. I want you to keep out of my hair for that time. The only reason I don't cancel the show right now and send you packing back to your Eskimos and your human rights is that I just happen to think your father's a pretty fine man. From now on, you are under sufferance. Just one more peep out of you, and you are on the next plane back to Anchorage. Do I make myself clear?
Abundantly. And there was a trace of spirit in her tone once more.
Neither of them spoke again during the rough ride down to the ford and back up the far bank, to the glade in which the bait tree stood. By that time, Job and Matatu had a fire going. The glow of the flames guided Sean to where Shadrach lay, and he climbed out of the Toyota and went to him immediately.
How's the pain?
He squatted beside him.
It is a little thing, Shadrach replied.
But Sean saw the lie in the grey tone of his skin and the sunken eyeballs, and he filled a disposable syringe from a glass ampule of morphine. He waited for the drug to take effect before they lifted Shadrach between them and laid him in the back of the truck. Job and Matatu had skinned out both lions while they waited, and they loaded the bundle of green, salted skins onto the bonnet where it could cool in the night wind.
It's a hell of a lion, Sean told Ricardo. You've got yourself a magnificent trophy.
Ricardo shook his head and said, Let's get Shadrach back to camp. Sean drove with care, rolling the truck gently over the rougher spots, trying to protect Shadrach from the worst jolting. Claudia insisted on sitting in the back with Shadrach, cushioning his head on her lap. Ricardo sat up in front with Sean, and he asked quietly,
What happens now?
I'll radio Harari as soon as we get into camp. They'll have a private ambulance at the airport to meet him. I'll be gone a couple of days. I'll see Shadrach well taken care of, and of course I'll have to put in a report to the government game department and try and square it.
I hadn't gotten round to thinking about that, Ricardo said.
We killed a lioness with cubs and had a man mauled. What will the government do?
Sean shrugged in the darkness. There's a better than even chance they'll pull my license and take the concession away from me.
Hell, Sean, I didn't realize. Is there anything I can do?
Not a thing, Capo, but thanks for the offer. You're out of it. It's between me and the department. I could take full blame for the lioness, say I shot her.
No good.
Sean shook his head. No blame on the clients. That's departmental doctrine. Whatever you do, I am fully responsible.
If they pull your license... Ricardo hesitated,
and Sean shook his head again. No, Capo, they won't cancel the safari. That's also departmental doctrine. Finish the safari. Don't offend the paying client. Government needs the hard currency you bring. Only after you left they'll bring up the axe for me. You're out of it. I'll be back in 2 days and we'll hunt that big elephant together. You don't have to worry.
You make me sound like a selfish bastard. I'm worrying about you and your license, not about enjoying myself.
We'll both enjoy ourselves, Capo. After all, if I do lose my license, it'll be the last time that you and I ever hunt together, Capo.
Claudia could overhear the conversation from where she sat in the back of the truck, and she knew why her father did not reply. He knew that it was his last hunt, license or no license. Claudia had taken an emotional battering during the last few hours, and thinking about Papa now, she felt the tears well up and scald her eyelids. She fought them back, and then it was no longer worth the effort, and she wept for all of them. For her father, and the lioness, and the cubs. For that beautiful male lion. And for Shadrach and his shattered leg. One of her tears fell onto Shadrach's upturned face, and he stared up at her in perturbation. She wiped the droplet from his cheek with her thumb, and her voice was thick and muffled with grief as she whispered to him. It's going to be all right, Shadrach. Even she realized what a crass and fatuous lie that was. Sean had a scheduled radio contact with his office in Harare at 10 o'clock every evening. The journey home was so slow that they reached camp with only minutes to rig the aerial and connect the radio to the Toyota's 12-volt battery before the schedule. The contact was good. One of the reasons for the late schedule was the better radio reception in the cool of the evening. Rima's voice, with its Gujutari intonation, came through clearly. She was a pretty Hindu girl who ran Sean's Harare office with ruthless efficiency.
We have a case, Vac. Sean used the terminology of the bush war for a casualty evacuation. I want an ambulance standing by to meet me.
Okay, fine, Sean.
Set up a person-to-person telephone call with my brother, Garrick, in Johannesburg for 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Will do, Sean.
Make an appointment for me to see the director of the game department tomorrow afternoon.
Director is in New York for the wildlife conference, Sean. The deputy director is in charge.
Sean switched off the hand microphone while he swore bitterly. He'd forgotten about the wildlife conference. Then he pressed the transmit button again. Okay, Rima, my love, get me an appointment with Jeffrey Manguza, then.
Sounds serious, Sean.
We just invented the word.
What is your ETA? I'll have to file an emergency flight plan for you.
The security authority was always so jittery about South African hot pursuit of terrorists into Zimbabwe or preemptive South African raids on terrorists' facilities in Harare itself that they usually required flight plans to be filed 48 hours in advance. Take off here in 50 minutes. ETA Harare 2300 hours. Pilot and 2 packs, Sean told her.
It was half an hour's drive from the camp to the airstrip. Ricardo and Claudia were in the Toyota when they drove out. Sean took the back seats out of the Beechcraft and placed a mattress on the floor for Shadrach.
By this time Shadrach was feverish and restive. His temperature was 101, and the glands in his groin hard and lumpy as walnuts. Sean didn't want to look under the dressings on the leg, afraid of what he might find.
but one of the minor claw wounds on Shadrach's belly was definitely infected already, weeping watery pus and emitting the first faint odour of putrescence. Sean administered another dose of penicillin through the cannula of the drip set, and then he and Job and two of the camp skinners very gently lifted Shadrach into the aircraft and settled him on the mattress. Shadrach's wife was a sturdy Matabele woman with an infant strapped to her back with a length of trade cloth. They loaded her considerable baggage, and then she clambered up and sat beside Shadrach on the mattress, placed the infant on her lap, opened her blouse and gave the child her milk-engorged breast to suckle. The aircraft's empty luggage compartments, Job filled with sacks of dried game meat, a valuable commodity in Africa. And then Job drove the Toyota to the far end of the runway to give Sean the headlights for takeoff. Job will look after you while I'm away, Capo. Why don't you take the shotgun and go for a dove and sand grouse down to the pools? Best wing shooting you'll ever have. Better than white-winged dove in Mexico, Sean suggested. Don't worry about us. We'll be just fine. I'll be back as soon as I possibly can. Tukutila won't be crossing before the new moon. I'll be back before then. It's a promise, Capo.